Or is Christmas tomorrow? It's Christmas Eve, right? So that means it's Christmas now, because when God created the world, he created it in darkness, and then he created light. And so the day starts with darkness and then goes to light. So Christmas begins at sundown on the 24th. So this is Christmas. Merry Christmas. We've been looking at, for our Advent series, we've been looking at the idea of present, Christmas present. And we had, throughout this series, we were looking at Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. We had delivery, assembly instructions, anticipation, gift exchange this morning, and today, share. And when we were playing on the word present, we love to get presents during Christmas, and we love to give presents, but God's the one who gave us the present when he gave us his own son, Emmanuel, meaning what? God with us. So God gave us himself, his own presence. And today, tonight when I said share, I had in mind social media. How many of you have used social media? Okay. Have you ever looked at anything on Facebook? Did you look at Facebook today? Did you post anything today? Okay. Did you look at what other people posted? Now, this is a big holiday. A lot of families are together. Some of you are here, and some people have traveled to be with their families. And so there's going to be a lot of pictures on social media because of Christmas. I wonder how many. Millions, probably millions, right? And so they'll be celebrating with their family, with their friends, and they'll be taking pictures of them doing all sorts of things. And some of it will have to do with Christmas. And some of it not. And it's amazing what people share, right? Some of the things are very embarrassing. But they're not afraid to share them. They just share them with everyone. But let's read together these five verses from Titus. And we'll read them together. I'll read verse 11. You read verse 12. I'll read what's in italics. And you read what's not in italics, regular print. And I'll say the same verse so it gets recorded. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking forward for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. And then the one for tonight. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Well, these words are primarily from Paul to Titus. He set Titus there to put the churches in order and appoint elders to help run the church. And so he's saying, this is your authority. Give authority to the church leaders so that they can help everyone learn how to follow Jesus. But then it's also given to the church, to the world, because Jesus told the church, he said, go make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching the nations to obey all that I have commanded you. And I'm with you even to the end of the age. So it's to Titus, it's to the church leaders, and it's to us to tell the world. And notice he said, these things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Tell the Christmas story, tell the story of Christ to everyone, and don't let anyone disregard you. Don't let anyone say, I don't need to listen to you, I don't know who you are, you're not important, I don't have to hear what you have to say. Don't let anyone disregard you, because it really isn't about you. It's about God. It's about what God has done. He's giving us the present that we need We need him. We need himself. Now, you've heard of this, political correctness. Sometimes we don't say what we need to say because we're afraid of what people will think. We're afraid perhaps that they're skeptical and they'll doubt what we say, or they just don't believe anything. And so many times we're afraid to speak up. This is a common saying, right? Happy holidays. Or season's greetings. There's nothing wrong with these statements. We can say those. But when I hear that, I want to ask this. What is the holiday? Doesn't holiday mean holy day? What's the holy day? Or season's greetings. What season is it? Do you mean winter, spring, summer, fall? We celebrate it's winter? Oh, no, you mean Christmas. We celebrate Christmas because Christmas is what God has given to the world. So let's not be ashamed of the story of Christmas. Now, imagine that we're downtown Detroit, and we're ready to cross a busy street. There's a lot of noise. A lot of people are there. Suddenly, you see a fire engine screaming down the road. The lights are blaring, shining. The sirens are blaring. But when the light turns green for everyone to walk, people just start to walk across. They don't seem to notice the fire engine coming. And you think, this fire engine's coming. It's expecting us to get out of the way. And these people are walking. And some people, they're going like this. By the way, on social media, I saw some fails where people are looking at and texting, I think, and guy falls right into a fountain. Did you see that one too? They trip all over all kinds of things. So these people are walking out into the street. They're walking out into the street. The fire engine's coming. What do you do? What are you going to do about that? Well, let's see. You could stand back and let your example, I'm not crossing the street. I'll just stand here, and this is my example, and that will be a statement to the people. You should stand here too. I won't say anything. I'll just stand here because there's danger coming, so I'm not crossing the street. They'll see my example, and they'll follow my example, but I won't say anything. How effective will that be, you think? Well, maybe you look around in the crowd, and you see someone that knows you. And you have a relationship with them. And so you talk to them, and maybe the two of you can convince more people. Or maybe someone's carrying a bunch of Christmas packages, so you pick up the packages for them and carry the packages for them, and they see what a good person you are. And by your good works, they'll respect what you say, and then halfway across the street, you can tell them, quick, get out of the way. What would you do if this were happening? This is silly, of course. If we saw this, we would jump up and down. We would shout. We would grab people's arms. We would say, stop, look out, here comes a... We would act immediately. We wouldn't have all these hesitations and self-doubts. We would speak up, not because we're important, but because the message is so important and because it's so urgent. We would speak up. It's important news, and it's timely. If you tell that story 10 minutes later, it's too late. And so we need to realize how important the story is, and we need to know when to tell it. Now, there's not going to be a fire truck running through your house or your relative's house at Christmas. So don't feel like you have to blurt it out. But ask and God for divine appointments, and perhaps this holiday you can share the good news at the right time. One of the things we did in the fall was we did this campaign called Bless, in which we tried to help us get the mentality of sharing the gospel at all times. Bits and pieces of the gospel so that people will listen. And so perhaps when we're thinking of the holiday of the season, we can think of the story of Christ. Now let me tell you a story. It's an imaginary story. It's a royal tale, okay? And just imagine that there's some great king. He's wealthy and he's powerful, and he has a giant estate with a beautiful garden, and he's surrounded by powerful guards and servants everywhere, and and wonderfully dressed courtiers, and everybody respects this king. Everybody gives him the honor that's due him, except one person. There's one person in the whole kingdom that does not respect him. One person that doesn't listen to him or honor him. Guess who it is? His little son. He's spoiled. Is it possible for a rich kid to be spoiled? I think it's possible, right? But the king loves his son anyways. Even though he's spoiled, the king loves him, and he has good plans for him. He has big plans. He hopes this young man will grow up to be a good man, a man who thinks correctly and who does the right thing, who will be a good king and do well for the whole kingdom. So he loves his son, even though he's spoiled. And one day, as the king is walking through his beautiful estate, and he goes through a garden, and there's a little pond there where ducks swim in it. And I don't know if you know about ducks and geese, but they can make a mess in a pond. But and then he sees something to his horror. What does he see? He sees his little boy has wandered off in this pond, into this mucky pond, and he's in danger, and he's about to drown. What will the king do? He's all dressed up in his royal robes. These are very expensive. This is what gives him dignity. What will he do? Will he spend time in self-doubt? He rushes into the pond, dressed as he is, to grab and rescue his son. Maybe the son doesn't even know that the father saves him. Perhaps the story goes around town that the king, dressed in his royal robes, ran into this muddy puddle to rescue his son. And some people say, that could never happen. No king would ever do that. You're just making this up. I can't believe you're that gullible to believe a story like that. Or maybe some people, they hear about that and they say, well, he's not so important after all. He should have sent one of his servants in there. Why would he do that to himself? That's below his dignity. He lost honor because of that. But perhaps some people, they'll hear this and they say, that doesn't make the king's honor less. That makes the king's honor greater. Look at his love. Look at his sacrifice. Well, you know, this is just a story. It's not true. But there's a story that's true and is stranger than fiction. Can you imagine the King of Glory? We sing this in our songs. The King of Glory comes where he was worshipped and seen in his glory by the angels, and he comes to earth, and he's born as a weak, helpless baby. He's not born in the capital city in the royal hospital. He's born in a little village, not even in a house, in a barn. As kids, we used to insult each other and say, what's wrong with you? Were you born in a barn? Well, our Lord Jesus was born in a barn. And if we tell people the story, some people would say, you believe that? No great king would do that. You're really silly. You're so gullible. And other people say, well, that would diminish his glory. If God was great, God would never do that. That would take away from his glory. But other people would say, oh, no, that makes his glory even greater because he shows his great love for us. So we don't know how people are going to react to this, but it's a wonderful story, and you can tell it. And we want you to share the story. You don't have to put it on Facebook or tweet it, but we want you to be sharing the story. You don't have to do it even at Christmas time. We can do it all year round because it's about the love of God for us, his spoiled children. He wants to win us back to himself and have us grow up and be the kind of people that he's proud of. Well, we're so happy that you're all here, that you're with your families. And isn't it Christmas music some of the best music? Isn't it fun to sing Christmas songs? We're going to sing a couple more songs. And I was so happy with what the program put together, the ladies and the children, and that's just a wonderful thing. We're going to sing some songs, and then we're going to light these candles, and we're going to have a candlelight ceremony. So let's stand to sing Go Tell It on the Mountain. Count to three, and on what would be number four, we'll blow, okay? One. two, three. Merry Christmas.